In the lab light, you can feel the tide. A killer in the water, nowhere to hide.
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to picture a war zone.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
But we're not talking about, you know, human soldiers or artillery or shifting borders. We're plunging deep into the murky, sunlit waters of the Bay of Bengal.
Right.
Because right now, as you listen to this, there is a microscopic, incredibly high-stakes battle raging in those waters.
Trillions of invisible combatants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trillions of them just locked in this ruthless, billions-of-years-old arms race. On one side, you have the cholera, bacteria, Vibrio cholerae.
The pathogen that causes the disease in humans.
Yeah. And on the other side, constantly hunting them, is the deadly virus called the ICP-1 phage. It's this intense biological tug of war that's happening entirely out of sight.
Completely invisible to us.
Completely. Yet the victor of this microscopic skirmish directly dictated the severity of a massive, real-world human cholera outbreak in 2022. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
It's just such a staggering concept. And today we celebrate the work of the incredible research team who published these findings in Nature, who have really advanced our understanding of how pathogen evolution works in the wild.
They absolutely have, because they didn't just study this evolutionary arms race in a vacuum.
You know?
They actually captured it happening in real time, right alongside a major human health crisis.
Which is incredibly difficult to do. When you zoom in close enough, the sheer mechanical complexity of this struggle rivals any human conflict.
Oh, for sure. The findings in this paper really challenge a lot of assumptions. So our mission today is to explore the front lines of that battle. We're going to see how a tiny piece of hijacked DNA tipped the scales of a pandemic.
And how viruses are building literal Frankenstein tales to survive.
Yes, the Frankenstein tales are my favorite part. We'll get into what all of this means for the future of fighting disease.
Because, you know, if you are wondering why you should care about a microscopic war in an aquatic ecosystem halfway across the world.
Right, like why does this matter to me?
Exactly. It comes down to how we fundamentally misunderstand outbreaks. When a wave of disease hits, our instinct is to focus strictly on the human host.
We always ask, you know, how our immune systems are responding. Do we have antibodies?
Right. But the data we are looking at proves that the severity of human diseases is often controlled by whether the bacteria making us sick are, at that exact moment, busy fighting off their own viral infections.
Which is wild. We are basically just bystanders to a much, much older war.
We really are.
It's the ultimate enemy of my enemy scenario. Okay, let's unpack this. Before we can understand why that 2022 cholera outbreak in Bangladesh devastated so many people, we need to meet the three main characters in this microscopic drama.
The key players.
Yeah. First, you have Vibrio cholerae, the pathogen responsible for human cholera. Second, you have the ICP-1 phage, which is a lytic virus that specifically hunts and kills the cholera bacteria.
A highly specialized predator.
Very. And looking at the clinical sources, there's this fascinating correlation. If a human patient has a higher concentration of this ICP-1 phage in their system, they actually suffer a less severe case of cholera.
It's basically a localized cure.
Yeah, the phage is acting like a medicine.
Because the phage acts as a natural, highly targeted population control mechanism. By lysing or bursting open the cholera cells, the virus literally reduces the bacterial load inside the human gut.
But the cholera bacteria aren't just sitting ducks, right?
Oh, definitely not. They are not defenseless targets. They carry an ace up their sleeve, which brings us to our third character. They are called PLEs.
PLE, which stands for?
Phage-inducible chromosomal island-like elements.
Wow, okay, that is a mouthful.
It really is. But their function is what actually matters here. PLEs are mobile genetic elements. They are, for all intents and purposes, parasites of the parasite.
Okay, I want to visualize this for the listener. Imagine the virus, the phage, is a hitman sent to take out the bacterial cell.
A highly specialized hitman, yeah. Engineered to dock onto very specific receptors on the bacterial surface.
Right, so the hitman kicks down the door. But the PLE isn't just like a shield or a bulletproof vest. It's actually an elaborate booby trap the bacteria has installed inside its own house.
Yes, and this trap is completely dormant until the virus attacks. It just sits there, quietly integrated into the bacterial chromosome, doing nothing.
Until the hitman breaches the cell. The moment that happens, the trap goes off. It blows up the hitman. But then, and this is the part that blows my mind, it steals his getaway car to go distribute more booby traps to all the neighboring houses.
It's a great analogy, and it holds up really well structurally. The PLE parasitizes the virus's structural components, the getaway car, as you called it, to package its own DNA and spread to other bacterial cells.
That's genius.
It is. Now, the virus hasn't survived this long by being defenseless against these traps. Over millions of years, it has evolved sophisticated counterweapons.
Because it's an arms race.
Exactly. The sources detail a couple of these viral counterweapons. One is a highly specific nucleus called Auden.
And a nucleus is basically just a molecular pair of scissors, right?
Essentially, yes. The Aud nucleus specifically targets the PLE's origin of replication.
Okay, what does that mean in plain English?
That is the exact genetic zipper where the PLE begins copying itself. By cutting the DNA right at the origin, the virus stops the booby trap from ever reproducing.
So it cuts the fuse before the bomb can go off.
Precisely. But the second counterweapon the virus deploys is even more extreme. It actually co-opts a CRISPR-Cas system.
Wait, hold on. Isn't CRISPR supposed to be the immune system that bacteria use to fight viruses?
In most cases, yes. That's what we usually talk about.
Yeah.
But here, the virus has literally stolen a miniature CRISPR array and its associated Cas proteins.
No way.
Yes. The virus injects this system into the bacteria to physically chop up the PLE's defensive DNA. It is a stunning reversal of the usual biological order.
The virus is using the bacteria's own weapon against it.
Yes.
That is so cool. So we have this incredibly delicate, multi-layered balance of weapons and counterweapons. The phage has scissors to cut the origin of replication and CRISPR to shred the defenses.
A very precarious balance.
Right. So what happens when the bacteria invents an entirely new shield that the hitman has never seen before?
Well, the balance breaks.
It breaks. And to see how badly it breaks, we have to look at the clinical surveillance data out of Bangladesh.
The scope of the clinical effort here is really worth noting. Between October 2019 and June 2022, researchers conducted this massive surveillance project. They analyzed 516 stool samples from patients.
That is a lot of samples.
It is. And they focused on two distinct locations. You had the densely populated megacity of Dhaka, and then Mathberia, which is a smaller coastal village.
And they weren't just looking at, like, patient symptoms.
No. They were painstakingly sequencing the genetic shifts in both the cholera bacteria and the phages hunting them in the environment.
The geographical spread is really important because it shows this wasn't just some isolated single hospital event. And right in the middle of this surveillance window, disaster strikes.
It's a big one.
In March and April of 2022, a massive cholera outbreak sweeps through. The data shows the hospital in Dhaka alone treating over 42,000 patients in just that short window.
42,000. It was an unusually devastating wave of disease. The sheer volume of patients completely overwhelmed local healthcare infrastructure.
I can't even imagine.
It was terrible. And when the research team sequenced the genomes of the bacteria from these specific patients, they found the molecular smoking gun.
The new shield.
Exactly. Just months prior to the outbreak, around September 2021, a brand new variant of that PLE defense system had emerged in the local bacterial population. They designated it PLE-11.
And this new variant, it didn't just survive out there, it completely dominated. Within 9 months of its first detection, PLE-11 was suddenly sitting inside 91% of the cholera bacteria causing the outbreak.
It swept through the population almost instantly.
So for you listening, the cause and effect link here is profound. The reason this specific outbreak hospitalized tens of thousands of people was because the local phages, our microscopic hitmen, only carried the auto-nucleus weapon.
Right, the scissors.
Right. And the sequencing revealed that this new PLE-11 was completely immune to Auden. The scissors couldn't cut it.
The local viral population was suddenly obsolete because they couldn't cut the new origin of replication. They couldn't kill the bacteria. That critical natural population control just vanished overnight.
The brakes were totally cut.
Yes. Without the phages keeping the bacterial load in check in the environment and in the human gut, the cholera just ran rampant. This provides direct molecular evidence of how the acquisition of phage resistance dictates the scale of a human epidemic.
It's incredible. But see, the epidemiological disaster is one thing, right?
Yeah.
How do we actually figure out the mechanism? The clinical data only shows us who won the battle, not how they fought it.
True.
So the researchers took this newly dominant PLE-11 out of the clinical samples and brought it into the lab.
they needed to test PLE-11's limits, so they introduced it to historical phages from their freezers, phages that were armed not just with Odin, but with that ultimate CRISPR-Cas weapon we discussed earlier.
The big guns.
The biggest guns. Under normal circumstances, CRISPR absolutely shreds PLEs to pieces. It's an overwhelming molecular assault. But against all odds, PLE-11 still defeated the CRISPR-armed phages.
How is that even possible?
Well, the secret to this invincibility was a newly discovered tiny protein encoded by PLE-11 called RTA.
RTA.
Right. We're talking about a protein that is only 80 amino acids long.
Which is incredibly small in molecular terms.
It's tiny, but its function is devastating. RTA specifically targets something called the phage's tape measure protein, or TMP.
Okay, tape measure protein, that sounds very literal.
It is exactly what it sounds like. It acts as a molecular scaffold and a ruler during the assembly of the virus. The physical length of the TMP gene directly correlates to how long the assembled viral tail will be.
And the tail is important.
Oh, for these lytic phages, the tail is non-negotiable. It is the complex mechanical syringe they use to puncture the bacterial membrane and inject their lethal payload.
Okay, so by targeting and blocking this ruler, the RTA protein essentially forces the virus's assembly line to build tailless viral particles.
Yes. It breaks the manufacturing process.
It's like manufacturing a guided missile, but completely forgetting to install the engine or the navigation system.
Mm.
Without a tail, the virus is just harmless debris. It cannot attach to or infect other cells.
And what's really fascinating here is the timing of this defense mechanism. The researchers discovered that RTA is expressed by the bacteria very early, well before the phage infection fully takes hold.
Oh, so it beats CRISPR to the punch.
Exactly. Because of this early expression, even if the virus successfully deploys its CRISPR system to completely destroy the PLE-11 DNA, the RTA protein is already synthesized. It's already floating around in the cell cytoplasm doing its job. It functions as an altruistic defense.
Okay, I have to push back here. Altruistic means sacrificing yourself for others. If the individual bacterial cell gets infected, does it actually survive this whole process?
It does not. The virus's replication cycle still bursts and kills that specific bacterial cell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Furthermore, the PLE-11 DNA inside that cell is successfully chopped up by the virus's CRISPR weapon. The individual cell dies, and its internal PLE defenses are destroyed. But because the RTA protein ruined the viral assembly line early on, the dead cell only releases broken, tailless, completely harmless viruses into the environment.
So the individual sacrifices itself to save the rest of the bacterial population from subsequent infection.
Exactly.
But wait, if the cell dies and the PLE-11 DNA inside it is chopped up, how does PLE-11 actually survive as a genetic element to spread to other bacteria?
That is the big question.
Right. We established that the PLE is a parasite. It needs the hitman's getaway car. It needs the virus's tail to horizontally transfer itself to new cells. If RTA destroys all the tails, isn't PLE-11 just digging its own grave?
That paradox is exactly what drives the most complex structural discovery in the entire paper. How does a genetic element spread if its primary defense mechanism destroys the very vehicle it relies on for transport?
Makes no sense.
To resolve this, the researchers turned to transmission electron microscopy and mass spectrometry.
And TEM isn't just, like, looking through a really strong magnifying glass. They are purifying these microscopic virions from the bacterial lysate, staining them with heavy metals, and shooting electron beams through them to map their exact physical structures.
The level of detail is staggering. And what the structural imaging and the mass spectrometry revealed was that PLE-11 wasn't just breaking the virus's tails, it was constructing chimeric tails.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because they are quite literally Frankenstein tails.
They really are. The genomic analysis showed that PLE-11 actually carries the genetic blueprints for its own tape measure protein.
It brings its own ruler.
Yes, alongside its own tail assembly chaperone, or TAC. So it allows the virus to initiate construction building the complex base plate and the outer contractile sheath of the tail. It lets the virus do all the heavy lifting. But then PLE-11 intervenes and swaps in its own tape measure protein.
To bring back our earlier analogy, it's kind of like breaking into a massive car factory.
Mm-hmm.
You sabotage the machinery that makes the standard steering wheel, so every car the factory's automated line tries to build rolls off totally useless.
And you've done this knowing you need a car to escape.
Exactly. So you sneakily supply your own custom steering wheels to the assembly line. The factory keeps running, it spends all its energy building the engine and the chassis, but now it's exclusively churning out vehicles that only you have the keys to drive.
That is exactly what is happening.
Because PLE11 is using its own ruler, it completely bypasses the write-up block, which is highly specific, and only attacked the virus's original ruler.
And the visual proof of this is remarkable. Because the PLE11 tape measure protein is a different molecular weight and size than the virus's original protein, the researchers could literally measure the difference under the electron microscope.
You can see it.
You can. The resulting Frankenstein tails are exactly 10 nanometers shorter than a normal virus tail.
Wow.
Furthermore, they used mass spectrometry to digest the proteins into peptide fragments. By analyzing the mass-to-charge ratios of those fragments, they definitively proved that the amino acid sequence of the tails belonged to the PLE, not the virus. It is a masterclass in molecular piracy.
So if we recap the scorecard here, we have a bacteria that acquired an altruistic defense protein that breaks the hunting virus's tail, while simultaneously building its own custom 10 nanometer shorter tail to escape the dying cell and spread to its neighbors.
It's quite the resume.
PLE11 just seems invincible. It caused a massive outbreak, it laughs at CRISPR, and it builds custom escape vehicles. But biology rarely allows for permanent invincibility. Evolution never stops.
It never stops. And the researchers knew better than to declare the war over. They continued analyzing the clinical stool samples from the region from July 2022 all the way to September 2023.
Just keeping an eye on it.
Exactly. And roughly 11 months after PLE11 first emerged and dominated the landscape, the ICP-1 phages finally evolved a successful counterattack.
The hitmen adapted to the movie traps.
The population dynamic shifted dramatically. Those phages that only carried the useless Auden weapon, they entirely vanished from the clinical samples. They were outcompeted and replaced by a distinct lineage of phages that carried the CRISPR-Cas weapon.
But hold on, we just established that PLE11 defeats CRISPR-Cas because the rota protein breaks the viral tails before CRISPR can finish the job.
Normally that is true, but these returning phages didn't just rely on CRISPR. The sequencing data revealed they had also evolved a single, highly specific mutation in their tape measure protein.
Oh.
Just one amino acid changed. Specifically, a mutation known as L362P.
Let's break that down for the listener. L362P means that at position 362 in the protein chain, an amino acid called leucine was swapped out for one called proline. Why does one tiny swap out of thousands matter so much?
It comes down to a concept called steric hindrance. Proteins function based on their 3D shapes. Leucine is generally flexible, while proline has a unique, rigid cyclic structure.
Okay.
When the virus swapped in proline, it introduced a rigid kink into the protein chain. This altered the 3D surface of the tape measure protein just enough that the rito weapon could no longer physically dock or bind to it.
It's like a lock and key mechanism, but the virus just slightly filed down one of the microscopic teeth on the key?
Exactly. The rito protein just slides right off.
That is incredible.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the sheer predictability of this evolution is profound. Before the researchers saw this L362P mutation happen in the real-world clinical data from Bangladesh, they had actually run experimental evolution trials in their laboratory.
Wait, really?
Yes. They forced the virus and the PLE11 bacteria to fight in a controlled petri dish. And based on the survival patterns, they predicted that the virus would have to develop a mutation in the tape measure protein to bypass rita.
Oh, wow.
Months later, they opened the clinical data from the surveillance sites, and they find that nature had engineered the exact same molecular solution in the slums and villages of Bangladesh. It is a textbook example of convergent evolution.
So what does this all mean? When you step back from the transmission electron microscopes and the mass spectrometry and the molecular piracy, you realize that a microscopic tug of war over a single tail protein, a physical difference of 10 nanometers, literally determined which strain of cholera swept through a population of millions of people.
It dictated hospital admissions.
It dictated the scale of human suffering in Dhaka.
Which raises such an important question about how we handle global health moving forward. The clinical implications are massive. We can no longer just track human disease and react when hospital beds start filling up.
Right, it's too late by then.
We have to actively track the viruses that hunt the human diseases. By monitoring the environment for these phage-resistant lineages of bacteria-like finding PLE11 in water samples, public health officials can prioritize them as variants of concern before an outbreak even peaks.
We can see the shield going up before the pathogen strikes a human population.
Precisely.
It totally flips the script on how we model and predict epidemics.
Yeah.
And, you know, it leaves you with this incredible, almost science fiction thought to chew on.
I know where you're going with this.
Right. If viruses and bacteria are constantly engineering these hyper-specific, multi-layered weapons, CRISPR hijackings, and Frankenstein tails against each other in real time, could we eventually map this entire genetic arms race with artificial intelligence?
It's a huge possibility.
Imagine a world where we feed the genomic data of a new bacterial shield into an AI, and it predicts the exact amino acid mutation the virus will develop next, months before it actually happens in nature. We could preemptively design custom phage therapies or highly targeted medicines to break the bacteria's shield before a single human gets sick.
We would essentially be predicting the evolutionary chess match several moves ahead. It is a highly complex yet entirely inspiring horizon for genomic medicine.
It really is. So the next time you look out at the ocean, or even just a murky puddle, remember, it's not just water, it's an active battlefield. And the victors of those invisible nanometer scale wars might just decide the fate of our next pandemic.
Very true.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
In the lab light, you can feel the tide. A killer in the water, nowhere to hide. A hunter finds a hose, cuts in like a knife. But something in the cell says, not this life. Just fail.